New satellite data from NASA predicts that over the next 100 to 200 years, global sea levels will rise by as much as 1 metre as a result of warming oceans and melting ice sheets in Greenland and Antarctica. This is bad news for low-lying coastal cities, some of which are already feeling the effects of rising sea levels. Coastal scientist and engineer Dr. Sally Brown from the University of Southampton says vulnerable cities will have no choice but to defend themselves.
For cities, many are situated in low-lying coastal areas, so a rise in 1 metre in sea level could be a real risk. So we've seen examples in the past decade or so of large flooding in New Orleans with Hurricane Katrina, in New York with Hurricane Sandy. But we've also seen risks in Asia as well, not just America. So we've seen flooding in Dhaka, in Khulna, in Bangkok, and also Ho Chi Minh has a lot of risk from sea level rise too. We're probably going to see many of those cities that I've just mentioned at even greater risk from sea level rise. And these extreme events, so hurricanes or typhoons, could potentially happen more often. And unless those cities are adequately defended, it could mean that flooding happens more frequently.
What kinds of political and economic barriers are cities facing in being able to better defend themselves against sea level rise?
In many developing countries, it's well recognised that sea level rise is a threat, but it doesn't mean that people necessarily do anything about it. Some people like to have a low level of defence, such as in New York, because it's part of their heritage and they feel that they can better clean up the mess of a flood rather than protect for it. In other countries, the politics and funding is really, really difficult, particularly for those developing nations where they might have to rely on loans and climate change adaptation funds that is put into by more developed countries to try and to rely on that to build up their defences.
What's the projected cost for global sea level rise and who should be footing the bill for this?
Well, we could see costs of maybe millions or billions of dollars due to sea level rise and flooding unless adaptation, so some sort of engineering protection, is undertaken. Who pays for this is a really, really difficult question. One could argue that the city itself should pay. They own the city, they govern the city, and therefore they should make the decisions. But other people think that maybe businesses or individuals should be responsible for that because they actually reap the benefits as well.
What are some of the ways in which cities are already planning for rising sea levels? Is it a one-size-fits-all approach?
There's different strategies for every city, partly depending on how low-lying the city is, partly on how the coastline lies, and also what people would like and what's suitable for that city itself. So there's been discussions of barriers in New York, whilst Boston has actually thought of canals going down the roads somewhere to put water rather than actually letting it flood the streets. One example has been in London to the Thames Barrier. Now, the Thames Barrier was built several decades ago and protects London from really high sea levels. But they know that the Thames Barrier has a lifetime, perhaps only just a few more decades. So the experts in the Environment Agency in the UK came together to actually think about how London could be best protected over the next maybe century or even beyond that. And they started to think that they could build bigger seawalls, they can remove defences in areas that are less populated, so in rural areas, and allow those areas to flood so the urban areas don't. They've also thought about building a bigger barrier towards the sea, but that's really costly, so it could be a long time ahead.
Now, small islands in particular are already feeling the effects of climate change. What is being done to save them from inundation?
Small islands are really challenging places to work and really challenging places to defend. I'm doing a bit of work in the Maldives at the moment and we're looking at the capital city. It's called Malé and it's one of the most densely populated cities in the world. There's 100,000 people in an area of just over 2 square kilometres. And what they're doing there is they've built a new city nearby, just a few kilometres away, and it's a new island, and they've raised this city to about 2 metres above the present water level. So they think that even with 1 metre of sea level rise, they should be safe and shouldn't get too much flooding, and they therefore should be protected for many centuries to come it may not work like that. They don't really know. And so until they have an extreme event, so a really high sea level rise, they won't really know how much they're going to be protected.
So how exactly are they elevating these islands?
In small islands, they have a lot of sand, and they use very large ships, very large dredges, to suck the sand from the sea and place it into a lagoon area. And they keep pumping sand from the seabed onto a very shallow lagoon until it's raised by about 2 metres. And then they can move this sand with diggers and tractors until the island is roughly flat, and they know that's then about right to start building on. It is costly, and it's not something that you can do everywhere, and you have to make sure that you've got enough sand available. It has to be right for the environment, and you have to make sure that you've got people to live there and invest in the island. So it's one way of working, but it won't work everywhere.
So what other strategies are there for the small islands to be able to adapt to sea level rise?
I think there has to be a lot of raising of awareness about what they could do, and looking at particular measures that may help an island. So that might be raising a seawall or making sure they have a sufficient beach around an island to try and protect them, because beaches absorb the wave energy and therefore stop the waves actually reaching the island itself. In some of the islands in the Maldives, they've selectively raised part of the island. It's a program called the Safer Islands Project, where they've just raised the central part of the island. So during flood events, it means people can go to the elevated part of the island and not get flooded.
How should vulnerable cities around the world be better preparing themselves against sea level rise?
I think, first of all, they have to recognise that it's a problem, to try and make builders understand that sea levels are rising, and therefore don't build too close to the shoreline or don't build on low-lying areas is really one of the first challenges. We've seen some of the really good examples how people have responded like that. For example, in Copenhagen, they've started to raise parts of their buildings above the normal height and raised essential things like electricity or above normal level, maybe by about half a metre. So it means that those areas are protected. The other aspect is to get people to plan in the long term. When we build cities, the buildings could be there for maybe 50, 100 years. So we really have to think what future conditions are going to be like now.